נשים ועבדים וקטנים פטורים מתלמוד תורה. This is a rather crazy way of beginning a mitzvah. I mean, if there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, which we don't seem to get around to until halacha chet, kol ish miYisrael chayav b'talmud Torah, you think that that would be the way to begin hilchot talmud Torah. Instead, we have a discussion at the beginning of who is not chayav a mitzvah talmud Torah, which is absolutely incomprehensible, right? Rambam never tells you who's potter before he tells you what the mitzvah is. So that means we have to understand why it is Nashim Avadim Uktanim Peturim Talmud Torah opens Hilchot Talmud Torah, and it's obviously part of the introduction to the word but, aval. So the introduction is actually a reason for us to understand the but. Aval katan aviv chayav lelamdo Torah, shenemar v'limatem otam b'neichem ledaber bam. So what this means is, and it continues on to the next piece, ve'en ha'isha chayevet lelamed et b'na, shekol ha'chayav lelamed, lilmod chayav lelamed. We haven't learned yet that the av is chayev, and we're already saying that the aim is p'tura because she's not chayevet lilmod. But that part is very good. But what about the part about katan aviv chayav lelamdo Torah? However we're going to understand this, it's clear that somehow or other the mitzvah of limud Torah is secondary to the chiyav of katan aviv chayav lelamdo Torah. Now you know the reason for this already because you've looked ahead. I think, I hope. And what you've discovered when you looked ahead is that in halacha gimel, where it says mi shelo lindo aviv chayav lelamed et atzmo kishiyakir shenemar v'limadtem otam u'shmartem la'asotam, means that the only chiyav of limud Torah is the chiyav to teach yourself what you weren't taught. Now that doesn't make sense because in halacha ches, the Rambam suddenly introduces a different halacha, which is called ish miYisrael chayav b'talmud Torah. So then obviously it isn't true that you're chayav only if lo limdo aviv. Here it says it doesn't matter. Ben ani, ben ashir, ben shalem begufo, whatever. Chayav likpo alo zman letalmud Torah b'yom u'balayla, which has nothing to do with the question of whether you were taught Torah or not taught Torah. So that must mean that what we're talking about here in the beginning is not that mitzvah. That would be the only way to understand it. In other words, there's got to be two separate mitzvahs. One is that you're chayav only if your father didn't teach you, and the other is that everybody is chayav to learn. I mean, what that means is, obviously, that the first mitzvah is a mitzvah that you're chayav on only if it wasn't mekuyim by your father. What that is saying is that it's a mitzvah that has a specific content. Because if it's the same mitzvah as you're chayav to learn Torah, learning Torah always, there's something to learn. So when you're chayav to be koveh zman b'yom u'balayla, I mean, what does that mean? My father already taught me that. Taught you what? The Sefer wasn't even written yet when your father taught you. So what do you mean he taught you that? I mean, obviously there's going to be plenty of things that he couldn't possibly have taught you because they weren't discovered yet. What do you mean you're only supposed to learn what your father taught you? It makes no sense at all. Unless that first halacha over here, that's the whole point of the halacha. There's a certain aspect of Torah that normally you would not be expected to have to learn. And therefore, I cannot introduce that mitzvah. Everybody has a mitzvah to learn Torah. That would be like saying everyone has a mitzvah to be poter themselves, if they're a bukhar. It's not true. Only somebody whose father wasn't paid to him. The norm is the father was paid to him. Right? So in this case, it's the same thing. Everybody must go get a brit milah. Women are poter from brit milah, but men have to give themselves a brit milah. Well, that'd be pretty difficult in most cases. But yet the Rambam doesn't begin the halacha with that in that case, right? So over here, obviously we have something that is possible to be done, and not only possible, the norm is that we're being mechayev, the father, to do this. And that's the ikar chiyev, such that normally you wouldn't come to the halacha of mishalo limdo aviv chayav lelamed et atzmo. What that means is, and it's inescapable, that the father's chiyev is to teach you everything. And therefore, it's completely wrong to say that the Chaya father's chiyuv is only to teach you Torah shebichtav, which is measurable, because then you couldn't say Mishalo limdo aviv chayav lamed et atzmo, because nobody would have been limdo aviv. You would always have a chiyuv of learning Torah on your own, right? So that means that this chiyuv is a mitzvah of learning Torah as a whole. Now, most people don't even realize that there is such a thing as Torah as a whole. They understand that there's a Torah shebichtav as a whole, but they do not understand that there's a Torah shebaal peh as a whole, which can be given over to your son. And that when you finish it, it's finished. And then there would be no chiyuv to learn it on your own, because you already know it. And only if you didn't have a chance to learn it as a child, is there a chiyuv to learn it as an adult. So what would that be? And I understand. That's why most people misunderstand the Rambam. Even the poskim misunderstand the Rambam. And they say the Rambam, if he's talking about that Mishalom Limda Aviv, it's got to be that it's talking about Torah Shebichtav, because how else can you talk about learning something or not learning something? But that makes no sense, because as we'll see, the chiyuv that you have to learn yourself is to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So then how could it be only if your father didn't teach you? It would have to mean if your father didn't teach you Kol HaTorah Kula, well, then that means your father can teach you Kol HaTorah Kula. So how does that make sense? So that the Rambam...
In that case,
you're potter.
Entirely from the mitzvah Talmud Torah?
No. There's the other halach of Talmud Torah in Chet, Kol Ish B'Yisrael Chayav Talmud Torah, which must be a different mitzvah. So we'll have to understand what that different mitzvah is. Yes?
Aren't you also bringing another chidush, which is the Torah is not discrete?
The Rambam is saying it's discrete.
It's discrete, and the applications of the Torah are not infinite.
The applications may be infinite, but the Torah is discrete. That's what he's saying. If the Torah weren't discrete, how could you possibly teach it to your son? Right? I mean, obviously, the Torah must be discrete, because Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the Torah. He couldn't have been mekabel the Torah if it wasn't discrete, because then I didn't finish. Right, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the Torah, then he must have given him a discrete Torah that had a specific number of words in it, and so on, right? There's no way to avoid that. So if there was a Kabbalat HaTorah, then there must have been a Kabbalat of a discrete Torah. So what is that discrete Torah? So that the Rambam explains. As a matter of fact, that's the whole point of the Hakdama of the Rambam. The Rambam and the Hakdama describes what Torah consists of. Right, so he says Torah consists of... Does anybody who has a chance to learn the Hakdama of the Rambam from my father, Zichron Elvraha? It's an amazing, amazing work of art, absolutely work of art. Every last word of that Hakdama of the Rambam just shines. It's almost inconceivable. So what the Rambam describes in the Hakdama is that the Torah Shebichtav was given to Moshe. That already is the question, how the Torah Shebichtav, doesn't that include all Chof Dalet Svarim? But however we understand it, we understand that the Torah Shebichtav, whatever that means, is discrete. Whether you're talking about Chamisha Kum Shetera, you're talking about Chof Dalet Svarim, it's discrete. But then, he says, Pirusha, the explanation of what it means, was also given to Moshe. But that Pirush was given Baal Peh. That Pirush that was given Baal Peh is what we call the Torah Shebaal Peh. Then, of course, there is the other aspect of Torah, which is what Chazal called Gemara. Gemara doesn't mean Talmud, as I mentioned in the Shir. Gemara means understanding the implications of what you've learned. So what it is that you have to learn is discrete. What is that pirush on the Torah that was given? That's what becomes the halacha, which is the application of the Torah, which is what is included in the Mishnah. What is included, as the Rambam lists what's included. So all of the conclusions of the Talmud Bavli, all of the conclusions of the Talmud Yerushalmi that are written lifaresh et ha-mishnah, the Sifra, which is written lifaresh et ha-mishnah, atosefta, which is written lifaresh, every one of them, it goes out of his way, lifaresh et ha-mishnah, the Sifri, which was written lifaresh et ha-mishnah, not the Mechilta, which was written lifaresh et ha-psukim, because that's not lefarish da mishnah. The point of the pirush of the Torah is the Torah Shebaal Peh. Therefore, says the Rambam, I'm going to write this book, and I'm calling it Mishnah Torah. And the point of my writing this book is to give you the entire Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, if you read the text, which people like, it's incredible. They literally don't read what he's saying. Oh, so the Rambam says you don't have to read anything else. You just have to read Tanakh and read my book, and then you know it all. What, is he crazy? And that's the whole point that he's making for page after page so brilliantly with an analysis of what the mitzvah of the Limud HaTorah would be, is that it's discrete. However, it is growing because the Pirush is also the way in which we have broadened the scope of the issues that we deal with. Each one of those issues becomes now part of what you need to know because it's gone through a continued development. So it would be as if you're learning all of mathematics that there is to know. So say that's discrete. The growth of mathematics is infinite. The same thing is true over here. You may know let's pretend, right? I mean, obviously this is a pre-Gödel statement, but let's pretend, as people once believed, that we could actually create a book that would include all the concepts of mathematics, right? This was the big dream of Whitehead and Russell. So fine, would they have thought that there's nothing else to do in mathematics? No, but this would have been all of the yesodes of number theory. Now you use number theory and you apply it to all types of tremendous condition. It turns out that that was a mistake, but it doesn't matter. The marshal is a good marshal. The idea of Torah, therefore, in terms of the Pirush, includes all of the Pirushim of the Halachas, not the Pirushim of the Pesukim. The Pirushim of the meaning of Pesukim, such as the Mechilta, or the Hashkafic implications of the Pasuk, or what is even the simple Pshat of the Pasuk, is not included, not in Torah Shebikhtav, and not in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's included in Gemara. The way people use the word Torah Shebaal Peh is to include Gemara, but that's not true. It's not really part of Torah Shebaal Peh. It is the work that you do to be mekayem the mitzvah in Halacha Chet, which is the Chiyuv of Limud Torah. That Chiyuv of Limud Torah does not have a discrete definition, and if you want to learn Torah to chazer over this Pasuk or this Sefer or this Masechet for the rest of your life, you will be mekayem the mitzvah of learning Torah because it has nothing to do with what you learn and how much you learn. But this first mitzvah, which you have to teach your son, obviously must have a discrete content. And the Rambam tells you, I'm giving you the discrete content. Buy yourself a Koran Tanakh, read it through, buy yourself or borrow, you don't have to buy a copy, you can borrow a copy of Mishneh Torah, read it through. How long do you think it's going to take you? Take you a couple of years. I mean, obviously you have to understand what you're reading, as we'll see. But you don't have to do in Torah Shebikhtav. You do not have to understand what you're reading. You can have a lot of open questions, but because it's Torah Shebikhtav, you have learned it. The understanding of all those open questions is part of Gemara. But Torah Shebaal Peh, because by definition Torah Shebaal Peh is, it's there to be a pirush. If you don't understand it, then you don't have the pirush. So obviously you're going to need to understand it. That's a fundamental difference. If you're talking about something which is what it is. Now this is the Torah Shebikhtav is what it is. You have a mitzvah to learn that Torah Shebikhtav. Did you learn it? Yes. Do you understand everything about it? No, I never told you to understand everything about it. I told you to hear what I have to say. Do you understand Bereshis Bara Elokim? Yeah, but I understand. Why did you say Bereshis, not Bereshona? That's no business of yours until you're ready to start working on
it. It's not the Bereshis Bara Elokim.
What?
You have to understand it's not the Bereshis Bara Elokim. There's
a certain level of understanding which leaves all of your more complex issues open. Exactly what that is open to question. But one thing is for sure, the mitzvah of teaching your child is definitely not to teach him all of the things that they teach in school. Right? They want you, Ramban understands it this way, right? That's absolutely a waste of time because it's not part of the mitzvah of learning Torah at all. All it does is confuse. Because you're supposed to be teaching this to a child that doesn't really understand that anyway. So what you want the child to come out with is Zilberman. Basically, it's if he knows Tanakh Baal Peh, then believe me, he was Yotze the Chiyuv of Limud Torah Shebikhtav. So say, did you understand Iyov? No. Do you understand the philosophy of Elihu? No. It's okay. You don't need to understand the philosophy of Elihu. Right, that's something for Gemara. I didn't tell you needed to understand it. I told you need to know it. You know it.
assuming that the Birbam teaches
it. We didn't see anything that the Birbam. I didn't see this part? The Limadata?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's good. Now we'll get to it in a minute.
Is there an implication in the Medrash that says that Moshe wasn't maspik to be Gomer the Torah?
No.
And that he was in
Matana? Oh, in terms of his learning and forgetting?
No, but it was given to him as a Matana, as a Kala.
Yes, because he was learning and forgetting. It was very difficult for him to learn it all that fast. It was only like a short time, 40 days. To learn the whole Rambam and to know it well in 40 days
is
difficult.
But it doesn't bear implications on this.
What?
But it doesn't bear implications on the...
How could it? If it's infinite, then it can't be given as a gift. It won't help. You can't give infinity as a gift to finity, right? It's not possible. You're talking existentially contradiction terms, so it's an absurd question. You can't teach infinity in a finite time, even if you're God. Understood? That's like asking, can God create an infinity which is finite? Can God create a planet that's too heavy for him to move? I mean, all these silly questions. It's a silly question. Fine. Okay. So now, what it's saying over here is, "V'limaditem otam d'bneichem lidaberba." Okay? This is exactly as Yisrael just pointed out. The mitzvah is that they should know to speak about them. They do not have to know to understand them. As a matter of fact, they can't know to understand it because they're too young when you're teaching them. The mitzvah is only lidaberba. In contrast to the mitzvah in which the person whose father did not teach him Torah is chayev to teach himself Torah, lamed latzmo, kishe yakir. But kishe yakir means he does have to understand. And that's exactly the difference here in why it is that the Rambam begins this way. When you're teaching your child, you're teaching a Torah that is meant to emerge into his mind eventually, which is a completely different type of teaching that you have to do for yourself, where you can only teach yourself what you understand. And therefore, if you're makir, so then you are being yotzei v'chiyev of that limud. To your child, you don't have to ask the child, do you understand? Because he's not meant to understand. At this stage, he knows the pasuk bal peh. That's great. Obviously, he doesn't need to know it, but what I'm saying, he goes to Zilberman, he knows all Tanakh, he'll ask him a million questions he won't be able to answer, who cares? And if he knows the entire Mishnah, and if he memorized Mishnah Torah, and he's still only 10 years old, and he doesn't understand it all, that's fine. Lidaber bam. Because of that unique vision of the mitzvah, which is only in terms of limaditem, eltam et b'neichem lidaber bam, which is not true about you, and we'll see, that's derived from somewhere else. But that unique formulation of the mitzvah means that there is something unique about the Torah that you're capable of giving over discreetly, such that it is the Torah that will define the space that we call that space of mind that the Torah gives you. What we were talking about in there. It is not about a bunch of intellectual pieces of information. It's a holistic vision that has to be provided holistically, whether it's understood or not. And ultimately, you gain that holistic understanding because that's Hadvarim Asher Ro'u Einecha Har Sinai. You have to see that which you saw at Har Sinai. Do you understand it? No. That's fine. So that is the mitzvah, and that's a unique mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam begins with that mitzvah because that's the most fundamental and most primal expression of the nature of Torah. As a matter of fact, it's an astounding chiddush. But it's meaningful to provide a child with an education that he doesn't understand. It's an amazing chiddush, which to such an extent, as I mentioned to you later, later on we're going to read that from what point do we begin being mekayim this mitzvah? As soon as a child begins to speak. What does he understand when he begins to speak? Nothing. Kishetinok matchil lesaper aviv melamdo Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Plus, gradually, the other psukim, right? And what is that but an approach to a subliminal lima? It's totally subliminal. And yet it's so important that even the order of what's taught subliminally is important, which means, by the way, the implications are incredible because it means that the Torah takes into consideration subliminal impact, and therefore having your child in the room while you're watching pornography is going to have a subliminal impact. You say, but he has no idea what pornography is, makes a difference. If you're sitting there and some radio in the background is blasting four-letter words at some pop tune, it will change your child's consciousness. I mean, Allah has kama v'kama. If these psukim make an impact on a child who's just learning how to speak and has no idea what it is you're telling him. So that means that we take very seriously the elements of education that are completely subliminal. And yet they can ultimately provide a holistic vision, which is more than you will be able to do for yourself. In other words, it's only bideavad if the father was unable to teach it to you at a time when it would give you that primal exposure, that then and only then do you have a mitzvah to teach it to yourself. Otherwise, it's supposed to be part of your essential consciousness. So imagine how far we are from any real sense of what it is to be a Morasha Kilat Yaakov. It's frightening. I mean, how many people are able to be zeiche to that kind of experience? That while they're children, they're actually being exposed to reality that is going to change them without their even knowing this is what you were doing for your brother. It was amazing to watch. Just take Chazal seriously. Give a child everything and watch the explosion, the internal explosion of how his entire relationship to the world changes without teaching him anything about it. It gives him the tools to be himself. That's the amazing thing. Gives him the tools for actually becoming free. That's not to be believed. So this is the real mitzvah of Talmud Torah with which we must begin, because this is the primal vision. Even if you're an adult, you have to know what it is that has to be reconstructed, or what it is that you lost.
Why is this the first thing? In other
because
words,
it's the Torah. Because it's the most direct application of what the Torah is as an entity. Without this halacha, you don't even understand that you're talking about an entity. You think you're learning information. The point over here of teaching a child is that we're talking about a holistic entity, which afterwards we can provide him with information, but which is as important, let us say, as the development of psychological stages in the understanding. You can't expect a child to suddenly skip five stages of Piaget development because you can explain things to them. It doesn't work that way. The mind forms in stages. So the tremendous chiddush over here is that even though there's no way to provide the information, that nonetheless, you can provide the context and all that will ultimately grow into that information. My God, that's astounding. That's absolutely astounding. I mean, this is something that is only like very recently being explored in terms of contextual learning, in terms of artificial intelligence learning, and so on. These are completely new ideas. Over here, it's taken for granted that that is the most effective way in which an organism gains real understanding of the world in which it's embedded. And if you try to give instructions as simple algorithms, they will never cover the cases that you need to cover, and you won't even begin to think about the issues that need to be addressed before the whole system breaks down, because nobody perceived that was going to happen. But it's absolutely astounding. What are you looking confused for?
No, so why does it start with Hashem Avonim? Let me just start with
why does it say what?
Why does this have to start with Hashem Avonim?
Because otherwise, I don't. What you're telling me is that the first ectonym, you understand why it has to start with?
Yeah, so let us.
Fine. So then I first have to tell you who's Potter, because only the Chiyav has the Chiyav of the teaching, which means the continuation of the halacha. Ve'ena isha chayevet. What do you mean, ve'ena isha chayevet?
Right.
Why is that the point? That's the point. The idea of your connection to Torah is never about you. That's what this halacha is saying. Your connection to Torah is fundamentally to be part of an evolving reality, not about you. So if, as the Rambam begins over here, which is the way that he brings it in the Sefer HaMitzvah, is the teaching of the learning and the teaching of Torah, is that it's really impossible for you to learn, that is shelo amanat lamed, because that's not learning. The learning is learning that gives over to a child in this fashion. Not only because that changes the way you will perceive Torah, but because it changes the context of what it is that you're passing on. What is that watch that they say you never really own, you just pass it on? What?
Yeah.
That's lahavdil. It's that kind of thing. What, do you think you own it? This is part of the Morasha Kilat Yaakov. So what it is that you have learned is part of a common consciousness which you are keeping alive and are zocha to be part of, and that's what we're talking about in there, about a consensual consciousness, a vision of reality that occurs only because of the fact that people share the consciousness of it. Right? Anything about reality that we are conscious of is only there because we're conscious of it. Okay, then whatever reality is, it has nothing in common with what we create in our brains that are a picture of that reality. So because of that, the underlying consensus, where I can be certain that when I deal with a qualia that I can assume you have the same sensation of, and that when I say red, you have the same thing in your mind that I have in my mind when I say red, which is an insane assumption. Why in the world would I think such a thing? I only think such a thing because I have come to the conclusion that my own consciousness is a function of sharing the reality of your consciousness. And therefore, if I can't build on that, then I don't have any reality, even my own. And I take that for granted. Every human being takes that for granted, because otherwise you could throw up your hands and jump off the bridge that isn't there. So that is a fundamental aspect of Torah, is to recognize that the meaning of your learning Torah is that it's consensual in this sense. Not only because of Ayichan Yisrael Neged, but because the generations that will share this Torah is part of your own Torah. That's a Chalavecha, that's an Anglit Lotov.
No.
Ayiv?
Okay, see.
We have another round. A Rambam shelo anachnu notnim lacher. Billy, we've just rented out your room. Go ahead.
Is that lechatchila or b'diyavid that has to be your way of learning Torah? Because it's still someone who wants to learn for himself. So doesn't the Gemara say that's still good? Just to the highest levels, l'lmod almanaz l'lamud.
Rambam is presenting what the mitzvah is here. The Iker mitzvah is to pass it on to your child. So obviously that's telling you what the nature of learning Torah is.
On its most fundamental level.
Yes.
Which is why.
I don't get why does he have to start with Shlemi? Let him just start with it.
Because otherwise I can't say Aval Katan Aviv Chayav Lamdo. If the child had his own chiyav of learning, then my chiyav of learning with him is because of his chiyav, not my chiyav. There is no such chiyav. And if there was a chiyav of teaching a child because a child needs to be taught, then his mother should teach him. So the point is, there is no such chiyav. That's what's so amazing about halacha. Let me get this straight. Let me get you straight, says the Rambam. There's no chiyav of seeing to it that the child is given to her. Huh? There's not. No, because if there were, then why wouldn't the mother be chayav? Okay. There's no chiyav of providing the child a Torah that he needs to learn. He's potter from learning Torah. Okay, so what are you doing? So what is this?
Who is it for?
Right. So what kind of mitzvah is this?
So there's a chiyav for the father to create. There's a chiyav on the father to teach the kid.
Yes, prosaically, that is absolutely correct. Fortunately, the Rambam allows us deeper insights than prosaically what is correct in the bottom line. You're telling me what the halacha is mechayev. That's true. But in order to understand that halacha, I need to recognize what this is saying about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So anybody who reads this is like shocked to the point of near insensibility. What is this, madness?
So can I say it like this? The reason the Rambam starts with saying Noshim and the are Potter is to say that it's not just a heavy tin to give the kid earphones.
Exactly! He's defining what is the Torah about? What is limited Torah about? Right. Fine. Now, we don't want to overdo our diukim in each halacha, because we won't get anywhere. So let's move on.
It's finite.
Yes, finite. All right, so let's try to get the picture. There's an extra Rambam if anyone's looking. Somebody need a Rambam?
Israel.
Okay.
Keep asking my green.
Halakha Beit.
Can I make a little bit of a problem?
Thank
you always make problems. What would be the point of making new ones?
I can wait if everyone wants.
Okay, wait a little bit. Maybe we'll be addressing your problem. Next halacha, there's another Rambam right here. Nobody wants to see the otiyot inside? My gosh, otiyot machkimot. Mayor Simcha ran all the way halfway across the Rova to get these extra Rambams and nobody's even using them? I'm so sorry I sent them.
Searching around in the dark?
It's searching around.
That was Monsieur's nephew, by the way.
I'm really sorry. I didn't realize that the lights went off. God, I'm so sorry. Okay. Kishem. That's the next one. Kishem shechayav adam lelamed et beno, kach hu chayav lelamed et ben beno. Shenemar v'odatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. This makes absolutely no sense, as you all immediately recognize. It's totally mad. If there is a mitzvah lelamed et beno, why are you bringing another pasuk that there's a mitzvah lelamed et beno? What do we need that whole first rasha for? Here it says v'odatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. So then why do you need to know v'lamadatam otan vanecha l'daber pam? And furthermore, what do you mean? What's this whole big drasha? Shame shechayav adam lelamed et beno. Just say v'chein hu chayav lelamed et ben beno. Whenever the Rambam starts with the words kishem and gives you a drasha, he's telling you something new that you didn't know before in the kishem. It's always like that. The shortest way of giving you the information is to give you the broader context of the information and then apply it backwards. But it gets worse than that. The lo beno ben beno bilvad. Actually, it's a mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael lelamed et kol ha-talmidim. I don't know why I was talking about your son, your grandson. It really makes no difference at all. I was kidding. So even if it's not your son, you're still chay. Shenemar v'shinantam levanecha, mipi ha-shmuel amdu banecha, elo talmidecha, sha-talmidim kruyim banim, shenemar v'yetzu b'nei ha-neviim. Okay, we'll talk about that later. That itself is problematic, but fine, let's pretend. Im kein laman etztava al-beno v'al-ben beno. Why then is there a mitzvah to teach your son and your grandson? I mean, if you're chayav to teach anybody, so you're chayav to teach them too. So what's the difference? The difference is lakdim beno leben beno uben beno leben chavero. To tell you that you should first, if you can only teach one, start with your son, then go to your grandson, and then go to other people, and read the next line and watch how this is ridiculous. V'chayev liskor malamed livno lelamdo, ve'eno chayev lelamed ben chavero ela bechinam. Did the Rambam just say a minute ago that the only reason that I need to mention beno and ben beno and ben chavero, because, I mean, what's the difference? There's no difference. It's only a difference in prioritizing. And then he turns around and says, oh yes, there's another minor difference. It's a completely different chiyuv, because for beno you have to pay money, but for other people you don't have to pay money. So what you ask me a ridiculous question for? Why do I need to know beno? Because it's a different mitzvah. It's a completely different mitzvah. If I'm chayev to pay money, then so obviously I need to tell you that halacha, and then separately tell me. And there's another mitzvah for which you don't have to pay money. Furthermore, who ever heard of a mitzvah that you don't have to pay money for? I understand. Did you ever hear of a mitzvah that you don't have to pay money for? There's a mitzvah paying money for it. Up to one-fifth, you pay money. What do you mean? I understand. And what do I need to know, Bichlal? That you're chayev liskor malamed. Of course you're chayev liskor malamed. Are you chayev to buy a lulav and esrog? In order to be mekayim a lulav and esrog, why wouldn't you be chayev to be mekayim the mitzvah by hiring a malamed if you can't? I don't understand what it means.
Is it shliach of the am?
I don't care what he is. If it's a mitzvah that your son is supposed to be learning, so then you have to pay for it like any other mitzvah. And if there's a mitzvah that you're chayav to teach everybody, why don't you have to pay for everybody? And if there's a difference between everybody and your son, so then why does the Rambam say, why does it have to say your son and everybody if everybody includes your son? So every word that he's saying is insane. One thing contradicts the other.
But I don't understand. If the mitzvah is your mitzvah, and then why do you need to pay someone to do it?
You mean it's a mitzvah shebegufa?
Yeah, if you can't do it.
If it's a mitzvah shebegufa, you're absolutely correct. Let me ask you another question. Let's talk about the mitzvah shebegufa.
Because we just started the first one, that the father should teach him.
Let's take a look.
Let's
take a look.
Okay, fine.
Okay, little munchkin.
Yeah.
Here's where we go. Now. Mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael, lalamed et kol ha-talmidim. This is a very unique mitzvah. Only a chacham is chayav in this mitzvah. What an amazing mitzvah. Do we need to know that, like, even a non-chacham is chayev in anochas tefillin? Or even a non-chacham is chayev in shmir Shabbos? Somehow or other, we manage to know that all other mitzvahs are a chiyuv on everybody, whether it's a chacham or not a chacham. But this mitzvah is only if you're a chacham. Why is it? How is it shaykh such a mitzvah? It should be only for a chacham.
It says
a
talmidim, not kids.
Okay, so why would that be? So then if it's talmidim, so then these talmidim is because the mitzvah is to teach. It's more than that. It's to teach what you know.
To whatever extent you're a chacham.
In other words, to whatever extent you are a chacham, you can have this mitzvah. You can't have this mitzvah if you're not a chacham. So what does that tell you? That this mitzvah is, as Nani just said, it's a mitzvah shebegufo. If you don't have the material to give over, so what kind of mitzvah could it be to give over material that you don't have? Okay, so you're 100% right. So this mitzvah, is it the same for Ben Chavero and for the Chacham? It's the Chacham. How about for the Chacham's grandson? Is it the same mitzvah? The Rambam is saying it's the same mitzvah. Let's understand the implications here. This second mitzvah is not the same as the first mitzvah. Because if the first mitzvah in Halacha Aleph requires you to hire someone to do it, then, as Nani rightly inferred, the mitzvah must be to see to it that your child knows it, and not that you have to teach it. But that means that this halacha beis is a mitzvah to teach what you know, and therefore cannot be done by hiring someone else, because that's not the mitzvah. If it were the mitzvah, then of course you'd have to pay money for it, but there's no such mitzvah. So you don't pay money for a mitzvah you don't have, obviously. Okay. But that means what the Rambam has introduced in Halacha Beis is a different mitzvah. Both on the son, on the grandson, and on everybody else. It's on that different mitzvah that the Rambam asks, so why mention the son and a grandson if they're included in the overall mitzvah of teaching what you know? Answers the Rambam, there is no difference. It's only to tell you the priority. If you only have time to teach one, teach your son. If you have time to teach two, teach your son and your grandson. If you have time to teach more, then come and teach the people that want to learn from you, right? Which leaves us already with two completely different mitzvot. That means that the second halacha that begins with the words, Kishem Shechayav Adam Lelamed Et Beno, is introducing, he's not saying V'chein. That's the whole point that he's making. The Rambam always pulls this shtick. I'm going to tell you what the din is about the prior case by telling you that kishem, that this is true. You know that, don't you? No, I didn't. Well, you do now. Right? So, kishem, it's exactly the same, right? Kishem, that at the end of life there's a din on the Adam. Kach, bechol, shana, v'shana, v'yom, rosh hashanah. You knew that, didn't you? No. Well, now you do. You never said there's an inyan of a din, b'shashi yomus. I did now. The same thing is true over here. Kishem means, in the Rambam, you should know that in the same way that you're chayav to teach your son, you're also chayav to teach your grandson. Because it says, hodatam levanecha v'levnei vanecha. Hodata means you teach them. It's a different idea. Okay, so then the things that you saw, advarim asher ro'einecha, hodatam levanecha v'levnei vanecha, which would be true to anyone who wants to learn. Because it also says Vishinantem Levanecha. And Levanecha would include anybody who can learn from you, as we know Mipi Hashmua. So we have two separate mitzvahs. One is to see to it that your son knows Kol Hatera Kula, so that he only has to teach himself in the event that his father did not do the job. If his father did the job, he does not have to teach himself because he already knows it. He's only chayev in the mitzvah in halacha chet, which is the chiyuv of learning Torah, not knowing Torah, which is a completely different mitzvah. And that mitzvah of learning Torah has to do with the esek that provides an individual with kisra shel Torah, with amelus b'Torah, with the concept called Gemara, again, which does not mean Talmud. Gemara, as the Rambam explains, includes math, includes physics, includes Weissenberg-Kof, includes all issues that are totsa'ot of the general chippus after what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the world. So all issues that have to do with the extended understanding of the nature of reality in the context of Torah, which provides the Yesod HaYesodot V'Amud HaChokhmot Kulam, all of that, says the Rambam later on, is included in Gemara. And that he says later, Beferish, which you already saw, of course, if you did your preparations properly. So, that means mitzvah number one, see to it that the child knows Kolat Arakula. You can't teach it yourself, hire somebody. Are you supposed to pay money for teaching Torah Shebaal Peh? Well, later on the Rambam says, as you know, that you don't. Again, people mistakenly conclude from that you're not chayav to pay money for teaching Torah Shebaal Peh. And they actually pass, this is what the Mishnah Mahalach, Allah Mishnah, I mean, it says over here. It's completely not true. Of course you have to pay money. The problem is you can't pay money to the person who's not allowed to accept money. Because emet k'nei, but al timkor. So therefore, the money that you would have to pay would have to be paid for the support of the child in learning, for the payment of the batola of the person that you're hiring to teach him, because he also has to discipline your child, or for this har pisuk taimim, as the Yerushalmi says, right? Of course you have to pay. There's no difference in the chiyuv of payment. The mitzvah is to see to it that he knows. There's only a problem of whether the malamed is mutter to take money.
What
did
Rabbi say from Yerushalmi?
The Yerushalmi says that you're allowed to pay for schar pisuk taimim. The Bavli has two approaches. Maybe it's schar pisuk taimim, or maybe it's schar batola, because you have to watch the kids. So the time that the Rebbe puts in for watching the kids, he has a right to take money for the bitul of his own time. Fine, but whatever it is. But there's no question, of course, you have to pay money for that. The Rambam says you're b'chuyev to pay money to be mekayim this mitzvah. If you were only b'chuyev to pay money to be mekayim the mitzvah, let me ask you something. If you were only b'chuyev to pay money for the mitzvah of his learning Torah shebiksav, so then how in the heck would you understand the words Mishal Olim Do Aviv, Chayev Olami Desatzma? That means the father has an absolute chiyuv to see to it that he knows. And only if he was not mekayim that chiyuv, do you have to, what do you mean? He wasn't allowed to pay anybody, maybe he didn't know. Maybe he himself didn't know Kol HaTorah Kula. So obviously that makes no sense. You have to pay money to see to it that your child has an education. What passes for education in schools today has nothing to do with education. And you're not mekayim anything at all in paying for that, other than in saving your children from a public school education. That you're chayav for, because you're chayav for pikuach nefesh. So you have to pay, no seriously, so that you'd have to pay for it to save your child, not to be in a position in which he will be destroyed. Right? Don't be a tinek shenishma. But basically a tinek shenishma, the way the Gemara defines it, is a kid that never knew, what's the case? He never knew the Isser Tumah, that's the Gemara asks. The Gemara asks, according to the Mandi Omer, this is an amazing Gemara. There's a chiyuv of bringing a korban oil of yorei on somebody who is tamei and is nichbas lemigdash, right? But only if he knew that he was tamei and forgot, and then went in and then found out. So he had to know originally. There's a Mandi Omer who says that the knowledge of the fact that you learned in school what creates tuma, you learned in school what it is that the person who touched the sheretz, let's say, is not allowed to do in terms of knisa l'migdash, that's enough. It doesn't matter whether you were aware of the fact that you were tamei. You only needed to know the facts that could have allowed you to discover that you were tamei if you would have been thinking straight, right? That's called yediat beit rabo. Asks the Gemara, so basically that means that there's no such thing as a korban that should be brought for Knesset HaMikdash, because it's impossible for anybody not to have those facts. Answers the Gemara, it is possible. If a child was captured by the Nazis and was taken to a Catholic church and raised there as a Catholic, so that he's a Tinok Shenishba. So then he would, unfortunately, when he's rediscovered, he would now be in a position of not having a Diat Beit Rabo, which means that according to the Gemara, Halacha Psuka, every child in an American day school is a Tinuk Shenishba. Is the exact equivalent of having been captured by the Nazi, and that can happen, unfortunately, of course, but I'm saying. But that means, by definition, that is not an education. Nothing at all. There's not even ideas-based rabble on the most fundamental sense of the holistic reality. I mean, that is that not true? That, literally, they couldn't come up with another case. I mean, you would have told an Amira that it's possible for a child to go to a very from school with, like, long prayers, and I'm gonna, and no, but he won't have any idea that a sheretz is metame. He won't even know what the shmoni shrotzim are. Was that, come off it, boys, ridiculous. Not only that, he spent 12 years there learning what? Zero. It's beyond belief. Right. So this is all the description of a basic Jewish education, which is a matter of a couple of years, but it demands the knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula.
In terms of the two mitzvahs, if it's really true that one of them is to be gufa and one's not be gufa, then why would the women
thank you, I wanted to ask that, but I knew I couldn't because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Thank you, Moshe. It's gufa, but it's not gufa.
In other words, the women could be just as responsible for their kids' education on the not gufa level.
He's going out of his way to say it's gufo in the first one, and I was saying the first one is not gufo. See, the first one is to make sure he knows, but he's going out of his way to say that a woman doesn't need to teach, even though the mitzvah is that. And then the second one is the gufo, but he doesn't go out of his way to say the woman again.
Yes, but you've made this a zero-sum game. What you've done is you've determined, it's a given, that there's only two possibilities. Which is that if I have a mitzvah to teach, to see to it that my child knows, therefore, it is something that has to do with the education of the child, and because of that, the mother is mechuyev.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's exactly what the Rambam introduced the whole halacha with and said that's not the case. That actually the teaching of a child is part of the mitzvah of limud Torah, not part of the child's limud Torah.
So the two mitzvahs are nested?
Exactly.
But then why would he be chayv to be socher mikolav?
Let me ask you something. The Rambam says, v'chayev liskor melamed libino lelamed, ve'eno chayev lelamed ben chavero ela bechinam. But he left out the middle case. The middle case was a grandson. What's the din of the grandson? Question.
His father teaches him.
Grandfather. Is he mechuyev to pay him a lamed as a grandfather for his grandson? What?
The only difference between Ben and Ben Beno is Kadima. That means that he was the same. So if you're chayev to pay for Ben, you're chayev to pay for Ben Beno.
Yeah, but the only difference between Ben Beno and Ben Chavero is Kadima. So if you're chayev to pay for Ben Beno, then you're chayev to pay for everyone. So then that's true about Ben Beno too.
We
can't have it both ways.
Or, no, we have the possible. The Chacham, the Rambam says, you're Chayav Ben Beno. It's only when the only thing that's introduced with the Chacham is Ben Chavero.
So then, if that's the case, then why does the Rambam say that it's only for Kedima?
With Ben Beno and
Chacham. No, he says both. V'lakdim Ben Beno leBen Chavero. Says that Beferish. Lagdim b'no leben b'no uben b'no leben chavero.
He starts out by saying, you can only say al b'no uben b'no. He doesn't say anything about ben chavero. And then he says,
all true.
So it sounds...
I'm just asking you, how do you explain the fact that then there's no difference between ben b'no and ben chavero?
That the...
Rambam says beferish. There's no difference.
Right. The person who's chayev in ben chavero, the extent to which he's chayev in ben chavero, there's still kedima in Ben.
That's true. There's still kedima. But what does that have to do with the question of imkein lama? What do you mean imkein lama? Because it's a different mitzvah. One is a mitzvah that's b'chayev paying, and the other one is a mitzvah that's only b'chayev personally teaching. You yourself said it's two different psukim. So right. You should look at the Rambam and say, well, I understand. Didn't you just tell me there's two separate mitzvahs from two separate psukim, and then you turn around and tell me, so what's the point? It's all the same mitzvah. What do you mean? You just told me it's not all the same mitzvah. So what must you conclude from that Rambam, from that question? What is the din of Ben Beno in terms of paying for an education?
You wouldn't have to.
Obviously, you wouldn't have to. Because the only chiyuv of ben beno is the second chiyuv, not the first chiyuv. And that's why he introduces it only as stage two. It's in stage two that we discover that even stage one has an additional mitzvah in which I'm supposed to give it over. Right? But since stage one meant that even if you can't give it over, you're still going to have to pay, that was a completely separate mitzvah ultimately, because it meant I had to see to it that he knew it. And because of that, if I fail my chiyuv, only then is there a chiyuv for the individual to learn. It's an astonishing presentation. It's absolutely clear. In these basically, we've already seen there are three separate chiyuvim. Halacha Aleph is the chiyuv of seeing to it that your child knows Kala Barakula. Halacha Beis is the mitzvah of teaching what you know, and that too is either a child, grandchild, or Ben Chaveo in that order. And Halacha Chet is that you are mechuyev to be learning. We'll see that there are other elements in the chiyuv as well. We get into greater detail. But right now, right off the bat, we already understand that there's three completely different issues that need to be taken into consideration before we even talk about your own chiyuv to know kol haTorah kula, which is an ancillary in Halacha Beit to mi shelo limdo aviv chayav lelamed et atzmo. So your own basic chiyuv of knowing Torah is really an offshoot of the fact that your father is supposed to teach you Torah, not because you understood it. I mean, that's not mind-boggling. It's a total change of everything that you would have thought about the nature of Torah, and it changes the meaning of what Torah is. The way. Is that barur? Adain lo barur?
Yes, just a question. Why Ram has to add that eno chayav lelamed ben chavelo? Why?
Elo bechinam.
But why? Isn't it just according to the explanation? It would be sufficient just to say echayav liskor emelamed libno lelamdo vezel.
Yes, but in doing this, he's showing you that the meaning of the second mitzvah is fundamentally different than the meaning of the first mitzvah. If you hadn't seen that chayav liskor melamed mashenkein chayav lamed ben chaver al bechinam, you would have said that the relationship of the words vodatam levanecha livnei vanecha and velimaritam vatam benechem are essentially the same. So whatever you're going to tell me about one, you'll tell me about the other.
Even if he doesn't mention the ben beno, jumping to directly to the ben chav.
Exactly, because those are the only two things you need to know. The ben beno follows automatically. That's the point. When it comes to ben, I have stage one chiyuv. When it comes to ben chavero, I only have stage two chiyuv. And that you can't get confused about. Fine, so now you know what the din is about ben beno. I don't have to even tell it to you. That's exactly what's avoided by this. Your question is exactly why he doesn't say the ben beno. That's the point. I've given you all the information you need. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's like, wow. Okay, so now we understand the nature of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah that is not about you and your knowledge at all, which is shocking. Its fundamental nature is in giving something over, and it's seeing to it that your child knows. And that there's a separate mitzvah, which, by the way, you're mekayim in 5 minutes a day, as the Rambam says later, you're mekayim that in just saying Kriyat Shema, of Limud HaTorah. That's the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, 5 minutes a day. Once you've been mekayim the mitzvah of knowing the Torah, which only takes a couple of years.
No.
Chazor is not a part of it. How do I know Chazor is not a part of it? From the following. Halacha Yud. An amazing other halacha. Which we haven't taken. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize your hand.
That's okay. I was gonna ask you for something that from the beginning bothered me. It describes a brilliant concept of a perpetual motion of a shasharat, and that your responsibility is to be continuing that shasharat of passing on this discrete Torah. So it's like a DNA, which is amazing.
In a sense, but I think it's a gross oversimplification.
Right, and I was doing that just for a short time. Yeah. But the idea basically is that a mother, in theory, okay, has just as much of an osmosis or connection with that child. So in theory, if you wanted to create this holistic giving over, why would you start something?
Apparently, it has nothing to do with the child. That's the point. It has to do with the Torah. The question of the chinuch of the child is a completely different issue, in which the only nourishment and fertile territory for that Torah to be able to exist and have meaning is clearly at Har Sinai, defined only by women. There's two completely different. That's the Kotomar Lebet Yaakov and Tagid Livnei Yisrael. So the Tagid Livnei Yisrael is, as Rashi says, it's the Gemara, but he brings it in the simple meaning of the pasuk, Dvorim Hakashim Kigidim. The Dvorim Hakashim Kigidim is the viciousness of education. It's horrific. So women do not have to engage in that and should not necessarily be engaged in doing that to their children. Because that is, in a sense, a violation of what it is that a mother actually provides. She doesn't provide Dvorim Hakashim Kigidim. She provides the entire context of his connection to the earth, of his ability to develop love, of his understanding of the nature of Midas, which allows this Torah to take root in fertile territory, in a ground that is already prepared for it. If the mother isn't there, then as it says by Har Sinai, that if it wouldn't be for the Kotomar Lebet Yaakov, you can forget about anything that she said to Bnei Yisrael. And that's that absolute reality. I mean, that's the development of the species is dependent on that. It's all very nice to have all of the competitiveness and all of the giving over of DNA, which you mentioned in your bushel, but none of it is going to work without in praise of the cave woman. And that's exactly this point. The cave woman goes on. The only way that that DNA takes root in terms of the connection to the development of a species and an ongoing evolution of a human who becomes more and more capable of growing into actually sapiens is women. Well, a lot of good the men are going to be doing. So now you've got better nuclear weapons. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, bigger phalluses, bigger with nuclear weapons. It just boils down. That's exactly what evolution would end up with. So the whole point that you have in terms of women is that that's what makes what it is that you are doing, which you would think, I mean, so what is this? So Torah is a thing? I mean, what happened to the world in which that thing is supposed to be? That's exactly what, and that's exactly why she's not supposed to be giving her life to this kind of thing. Because the ongoing preservation of the species, which means the preservation of the earth in which that racious, which is Yisrael, is meant to develop in, is what she provides. So all you're doing, with this beautiful marshal that you gave, of giving over DNA, is exactly the same. What good would it be to be giving over DNA if you wouldn't have the interrelationship, the intersex relationship in this case, which is the meaning of Adam, that allows for both of these things to be taken care of? But it's a totally different vision of reality. And those Dvorim HaKoshim Kigidim are very problematic when a woman has to do that, unfortunately, in a single mother in cases like that. It's awful. And very often it's worth hiring somebody to do that or get somebody to provide the father image, which will provide some of these things for the child. But for a mother to try to do that to her child is going to damage the other things that she's giving to her child. Listen, this takes place all the time in Japan, let's say, where the mother is pushing and pushing for the Dvorim HaKoshim Kigidim. The psychological implications that have recently been exposed are horrifying because it destroys the child's education. It may make them better pianists faster. But that's about it. In terms of the humanity of what comes out of it and the ability for the child to experience this as a holistic reality that was given over to me as a vision, a DNA vision of what reality consists of, it's completely a failure. Okay, so that nobody is putting down the cave woman. Nobody said that all women are women.
No.
Okay.
You
know, that's Jungian psychology.
Why is it that we jump out of the ordinary in terms of going back to Chayiv Liskor Melamed?
Wait. We're about to learn Halachiyot. All right. So we have another Chiyuv here. Another very funny Rama. An Ematai Chayav Lilmot Torah Ad Yom Moto. What in the world is that supposed to be? An ematai chayav lishmor Shabbat. An ematai chayav lahaniach tefillin. Did you ever hear the Rambam asking a question, how long is this chayav? And then, what do you mean, ad yom moto? As long as he's alive. What does that have to do with yom moto? What a weird way of saying, until the day he dies. That'll be the day. I mean, what does it just say? As long as you're alive, you're chayav in this mitzvah. There's something strange about this.
No,
Shenemar, how do I know that this is true? Shenemar upen yasru milvavcha kol yemei chayecha. Because man shel yasok belimudu shocheya. And that's the answer. There is no mitzvah to learn until the day that he dies. The only mitzvah is not to forget. And since if you don't learn, you will forget. So how long do you have to worry about that? I mean, what if you're terminal? You're going to forget soon. And everybody's terminal. So at what point do we kick in with the terminal? Well, let's say generally I review my learning once every week. I mean, the last week. This is not such a simple question. So because, what is this referring to? It's not referring to the mitzvah in Halacha Chet of Kol Ish Mi'Yisrael Chayav B'Talmud Torah. That mitzvah, of course, is every day. It's not Ad Yom Moto, it's Kol Zman Shu Chai. But that mitzvah is a 5-minute mitzvah. What we're talking about over here is the mitzvah of knowing the Torah, not learning the Torah. Obviously, you learn the Torah as long as you can. Zota Torah Adam She'amud Bo. I mean, why in the world wouldn't you learn Torah? The question over here is, but how long do you have to worry about the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, which you already finished? So it turns out that you have to learn because otherwise you will forget. And the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah is not to have learned it, it's to know it. So the moment that you forget part of it, you're no longer being Mekayim the mitzvah. As opposed to the mitzvah of just learning. But it's the same thing as the child. That's exactly the same issue. So the moment you don't know something, you have to go out and learn it. Even if you had once learned it, fine, so now learn it again. If the father successfully gave it over to you in a way that you don't forget, and you're a genius and never forget anything, so then that's great. You know, so then you don't have to worry about it. You know, there's people who never forget anything. It's amazing. It's the story with Ramesha, you know the story with Ramesha. Ramesha Feinstein, when he became quite old, he forgot something. And he said, today I learned the answer to something that has been bothering me my whole life. What does it mean to forget? If you know it, how can you forget it? I understand what that means. So what is